Good to talk track and field. We haven't talked since October, sir, right before the state cross country meet. I'm sure you've had a great off season. It's been a busy off season, hasn't it?
Well, it has. Our off season is actually pretty short, so we covered the college cross country season through mid-November, and then the high school indoor season actually started in January. For those listeners who don't know, Concordia University and the College of St. Mary host a great series of indoor open high school meets in January and February. So there were six meets. We saw folks from as far away as Gehring and in Omaha, and then also in Seward. So just a great chance for athletes all over the state to compete with very little pressure. But it did give us a good glimpse of the season to come, and we just think it's going to be great.
You had a chance to watch a lot of talented individuals, didn't you?
We sure did, yeah. And I think this is kind of an interesting season. This year's senior class missed their freshman track season because of the pandemic. And so we do think that the participation numbers are down due to the kids who didn't get a chance maybe to try track and field in junior high or when they were freshmen. But, boy, the quality of athletes has not been hurt, and this season could be as good as any. In fact, we think that there could be state record challenges in at least 10 events spring.
No question. Following those athletes, and they've been fun to watch so far. Which records do you think have the best chance of falling?
Well, this one wasn't particularly on our radar, but it already happened. So Carson Leeling of Sydney already tied the Class B high jump mark when she cleared 5:10 last week. If you'd asked us 3 weeks ago, we would have said that E.J. Brown of Alcorn South had the best chance of beating or tying the all-class record of 5:11 since she had jumped 5:9 over the winter. But now we have to throw Leeling into the fray for a good chance at tying or breaking the all-class record of 5:11. We also were watching closely Jalen Lloyd of Omaha Westside. He's the top contender to break the triple jump record of 50 feet, 2 1/4 inch. He's been hurt. He got hurt in the indoor season, and so we haven't seen him yet in the outdoor season. But he'll be back and healthy and should compete well. Unfortunately, he's not going to be pushed by Reese Grossroad of Pius. Jalen and Reese had this epic showdown at the state track meet where Reese managed to get the state record, state meet record, because he had a wind legal jump. But then Jalen came back and won the state title with a little bit longer jump in a jump that wasn't wind legal. Unfortunately, Reese tore his ACL last spring, and he won't be able to jump again this summer. And then last week, we saw that Carson Stair of Aurora jumped 47:11.5 at a meet at Norris. It was a meet where there are a lot of good results, but we think he could also challenge for an all-class medal in the triple jump if he keeps improving. JC Sievers is somebody we talked about a lot last year. She's out of Alcorn South, and she's a Tennessee commit. She should challenge the state 1,600 and 3,200 meter records this spring. She ran a 4:54 mile and a 10:37 2 mile at New Balance Nationals in March. And so those are within striking distance of the state records of 4:49 and 10:23. She's going to be pushed by Claire White of Westside, who ran a 5:02 mile a few weeks ago, and she ran a 10:56 3,200 last week. We also see some challenges from Berlin Schutz and Mia Murray of Lincoln East. And while they may not get the record, they're certainly going to push Sievers and White. One of the records we thought was going to fall last year was Kate Campos of Pius in the 300 hurdles. She missed it by just 8/100ths of a second last year, and we think that she's got a good chance to challenge the 100 hurdles and the 300 hurdles all-class records this year. In the throws, Sam Campos of Lincoln East and Caden Frederick of Papio South are the top contenders to break the Class A record of 64'9" by Larry Station, who is a standout football player at Iowa. Campos has also already thrown at 192 feet in a discus, and that's only 12 feet short of the all-class record. So that could be at risk, too. And then, finally, on the distance side, Carson Necker of Cedar Catholic has a good chance to beat Seth Hirsch's record of 854 and improve upon his Class C record, 911. Carson very quietly committed to South Dakota State in January, and he ran a 9:16, 3,200 in his first meet this year, and that happened to be the fourth race that he had ran that day. So while Carson runs alone most of his races, he is certainly fit.
Now, a lot of the athletes you mentioned are all returners. Are there any freshmen, some newcomers, who will make an impact this year?
It's early, so we're not quite sure who's going to be there, but the freshman class definitely has some studs. Hazel Harburg of Kearney Catholic is the current Class C leader in the 100, 200, and the long jump. Her teammate, Alyssa Onan, has a top Class C mark in the pole vault. And then a young lady that we've been watching since last year in eighth grade when she absolutely tore up the Omaha tracks, Katie Schaefer of Papio South, is a real challenger in the 200 and 400, and last week she ran a 57-second 400. So I think she's only going to get better. She ran over the winter relatively little in terms of racing, and so I think we haven't seen her best yet. On the boys' side, Landon Fye of Crete is the current all-class leader in the 100, and he's number three in the 200. But those marks also came at Norris, and where there might have been a tailwind because there were certainly some good marks in a lot of the short sprints. But we had seen what he had done last year in eighth grade, and we feel like he's going to be a significant factor for Crete. And then finally, Joe Majerus of Pius has run a 9:52, 3,200 so far this year. It's really unusual to see a freshman break 10 minutes in the 3,200 so early in the season.
And, of course, that Fye name, of course, it stands out. Coach Ed Fye, the head track and field coach over at Doan, he knows that young man pretty good, doesn't he?
I think he should, and I think by the end of the season, a lot of people are going to know Landon pretty well.
Now, every year, Jay, the SAA reclassifies schools. Are there any changes you might think will make a big impact this year?
I think there are a few that are pretty significant. Led by Kearney Catholic's shift from Class B to Class C. When you add those two freshmen we just talked about to a Kearney Catholic team that's always solid, they look like they could be top contenders on the girls' side for a state title. Milford has also moved to Class C, and that means that Lily Kinning will be competing head-to-head with Jordan Arnes of Crofton. Jordan has absolutely dominated Class D cross country and Class C track the last 2 years. She's got 7 gold medals. But Lily's already run a 5:13, 1600 this spring and has just been racing absolutely crazy times this winter. I think she's been under 5:20 at least 3 or 4 times since January, so she is ready to go. And then on the boys' side, I think the shift for North Platte St. Pat's from Class D to Class C will have an impact. They probably would have been good contenders in Class D, but many of their athletes are also going to be just as competitive in Class C this year.
So what have you learned so far this spring season?
Well, last year was truly an exceptional year. We had said it was the golden age of girls distance running. But I really do think that this season will be even better. Class A athletes are already throwing down some pretty impressive performances, and many of those athletes have been training all winter. However, in Class B, C, and D, most of those best athletes were playing basketball or wrestling. So we think we're going to see a lot of improvement in April and early May as they get back into track shape. I think we've also learned that Nebraska track and field is seeing steady improvements. You know, it's probably a combination of better coaching, more engaged athletes, access to better training information on the internet, and certainly Super Shoes is playing a part in some of these distance races. But I also think that more high school students are realizing that competing in college is a good option for them. And so they're just maybe a little bit more motivated to keep improving and to keep working year round.
I told this guy time and time again how much I love his website at PrepRunningNerd.com. Can you tell us a little bit more about Prep Running Nerd and what it's all about?
Prep Running Nerd is a hobby that has gotten just terribly out of control. You know, during the season, I'm spending about 30 to 40 hours a week on it, and we've got 17 other volunteers that are putting in quite a bit of time, too. So this started out humbly 6 years ago. I was a parent of two kids at Creighton Prep, and I was frustrated that the Metro newspapers and TV stations were only covering a few meets each season, and there just wasn't any statewide coverage of cross country and track and field until the state meet. So the first 4 years, I kind of did this on my own, and then my two sons joined me. Last fall, we asked for more volunteers, and now we've got 18 nerds who take photos, as well as a Creighton nursing student who's inputting results into our database for us. So we've got nerds from Omaha all the way to the Wyoming border and as far north as O'Neill. Our coverage in southern Nebraska is pretty sparse, however, so we'll have to pick up a nerd in McCook if you happen to know one.
We will try to definitely work on that, Jay, no question about it. That's a lot of nerds, by the way. What do you do to cover the sport now?
Well, most importantly, we go to a lot of track meets and we take pictures and then we post them for free on our Facebook page. By the end of the season, we think we'll have posted at least 50,000 free pictures. So that's probably the biggest highlight for parents who don't have the ability to go to some meets or just don't have a good camera. But we also do a bunch of other nerdy things. So this week we launched our performance database where we attempt to publish the top 15 performances for each event by class. So that means that we have to track down results for every track meet that we can. And then we manually input the results for those meets that aren't on the internet. Next week, I think we'll start publishing our weekly nerds letter. And that's just a short nerds newsletter on our webpage that summarizes what happened in the prior week. So I think if you're a track fan, this is something that you would enjoy. And then our website at PrepRunningNerd.com includes the nerds letter, the performance list, meet results, advice on how to pick a college for runners, and then we'll have links to all the photo albums that we've posted. And then finally, because we're just teenagers at heart, we spend a lot of time on social media, so we're very active on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. If you search for Prep Running Nerd with no spaces, you should be able to find us.
Well, Jay, it's been a great spring so far, and it's the month of April. It means it's really going to get going here Easter time, and got some big meets in the next couple of weeks. May will be here before you know it. We'll be talking about all the conference and then districts, and boom, just like that, it's going to be state meet time at Burke.
Yeah, it's going to go fast. I think we're all hoping that it'll be a little bit warmer. Both you and I have suffered through some meets where the wind chill was below freezing, and so that's not an enjoyable time for parents or athletes or photographers who are trying to take pictures. So, but we're going to get there. Before we know it, it's going to be 90 degrees and we're going to be complaining about the heat.
That it will be, you bet. Jay, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for talking to us. You keep up the good work, and we'll do this again down the line, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you, sir.